using the old ways and the new ways together. Yes, don't ignore the past. There's lots of wisdom there. And if you add the new discoveries, you can achieve brilliant results. That's what Don Palmer and friends have been doing in Adelaide and in the Red Centre of Australia. Here's his story.
Come closer. I want to tell you a story of hope. A story about something that transcends the crocodile tears, the hand-wringing and the weasel words of sanctimonious government reports about closing the gap on Indigenous disadvantage. Something that actually works, and on many levels. There are many gaps in Indigenous health that are not being measured at all. Take otitis media, or glue ear, for example. Glue ear is a middle ear infection that commonly affects young children, and in most cases clears up by itself. But for Aboriginal children, who have the highest rates of glue ear of any people in the world, it's a different story. Poor hygiene, crowded housing, broken families and a lack of access to health services, amongst other factors, make glue ear a huge problem. A problem that causes hearing loss and that ultimately leads to learning difficulties and then problems of getting work, and this all propels a cycle of serious social disadvantage. The World Health Organization says any incidence of glue ear higher than 4% is a massive public health problem requiring urgent attention. But in Australia, around 90% of Indigenous children in remote areas have glue ear, and 50% of Indigenous kids are functionally deaf. 50% of children who can't hear. So they can't learn, they can't earn, they can get into trouble with the law, and they can contract a raft of chronic illnesses and can die young. And they do. A 2011 study found 94% of Indigenous men incarcerated in the Northern Territory have significant hearing loss. Now, if this were happening at a prestigious school in the big cities, they'd be screaming from the roof. But listen, you will hear this. Nothing. The facts are too uncomfortable. Renowned Indigenous singer Jimmy Little, one of the least cynical people I've ever met, once said to me, "The government has a plan. The plan is not to have a plan." Indeed, Australian Hearing, the Commonwealth body charged with this issue, reports that they have, quote, "no strategic plan for Indigenous hearing health." Uncle Jimmy was right. It seems it's not only the children who are deaf. But our story, the story of the Malpa Institute, shows that it doesn't have to be like this. For us, it started about 5 years ago in a squalid town camp on the fringes of Alice Springs, a town called the Walpree Camp. I'm sure that I don't need to paint a picture, the tin shelters, the filthy mattresses, the smouldering campfire, the rubbish. Fourth world. We probably all know those images of squalor and deprivation. There I was sitting around a low burning fire with the locals as the camp dogs snuffled around looking for scraps and the kids laughed and played in the dirt. But one of the women, was she 20 or 50, pushes her baby into my arms. The kid's clothes are soaked in urine. Her face was awash with green snot. She says, "I don't know what to do. Help me." "Well, what would you do?" Confused and wrong-sided, I asked one of the elders, Rex Japananka. I said, "What, Rex, why are all the kids sick? Why does nothing work?" He drew a long, deep breath. He looked out into the night sky and he quietly said, "There are two reasons. Government men, they never do things our way, Aboriginal way. And they never seriously involve us. Rex, can you help me understand what your way is?" And that was when he gave me the key, the golden key that has made everything that our organisation now does with Aboriginal communities actually succeed. And this is what he said. "I want to tell you," he said, "about the Nunkari, the traditional doctors and healers. It starts when they're little children, sometimes as young as 4, sometimes 10. And he explained that young children were chosen for the work because the older doctors agreed that they seemed very intelligent and seemed to care about other people. There have been young doctors or child doctors for more than 40,000 years. They had to gain knowledge and wisdom," Rex said. "They were taught everything they needed to know to heal their people, and they became healers whose job it was to look after their mob. So I asked Rex, if the kids are deaf and the cavalry aren't coming from Canberra in their white cars, why don't we just get on with things together? What if we help communities choose children to be young doctors with traditional and modern knowledge? Palyalinko, he said, that's good. And so it began, Malpa. That's a Pintupi word meaning friends on the journey. That's the word you should use, he said. The concept is simple, but only because it embraces all the complexity of culture and history. We work with Indigenous communities to use their ancient paradigm of health service delivery, where they train child doctors and raise them to be health leaders and carers for their people. Each community asks itself the important but simple question, what do our kids need to know to lead strong and healthy lives? Every community has a different answer. Their needs are different, and they decide. The children, and always Indigenous and non-Indigenous together, are selected and taught the ancient medical knowledge, but Western knowledge as well, supported by groups like the Australian Indigenous Doctors Association. They learn that the bush can be their pharmacy and their supermarket. They learn that there is also a pharmacy down the street and that some parts of our supermarket are better for us than others. So what of otitis media, the glue ear? Well, the young doctors learn about blowing their nose, washing their face, eating good food and much more. Their world suddenly turns from being a dull fog into technicolor. They can breathe, they can hear, and they don't fall asleep on their school desks by 10 in the morning. They learn lots of stuff. And every bit as importantly, the kids share what they know. They're so excited, they can't help it. They are dynamic health leaders in their community. And they tackle all sorts of things. In one small community, the young doctors, on their own initiative, wiped out the incidence of hairnets in the school community. Not too shabby. In another community, they chose to become accredited practitioners of CPR. These 10-year-old kids are amazing. One of the young doctors said, "These are the best days of my life." And another said, "My favourite part is learning about everything." An elder commented, "We have been waiting for this." Malpa has supported communities to train more than 600 10-year-old children as young doctors. That's in the Northern Territory, the ACT, South Australia, Victoria, and New South Wales. And this year, we are training 400 more. The young doctor approach is transforming everything from education, school attendance rates, which have risen sometimes to 98%, health leadership, environmental health, health literacy, diet, and the all-important hygiene. And on top of this, we try to create career pathways for the young doctors and for our community leaders. We get no government funding. The government, it would seem, doesn't have much appetite for doing much about ear health. So what have we at Malpa learnt on this journey? It's quite simple, really, but powerful. First, use the time-honoured Aboriginal ways, experienced healers teaching children to be doctors. Second, there is no one-size-fits-all. Third, local people must devise and deliver the project. Honour their capacity. Fourth, Indigenous and non-Indigenous kids must learn together as Malpas. Indigenous-only projects just entrench jealousy and resentment. Fifth, honour the traditional knowledge but also teach the Western ways. Sixth, elders and culture must be respected. And finally, seventh, build the local leadership and support them through the storms that inevitably lash communities. It's not all that hard, really. You see, this is not bleeding hearts. This is bleeding obvious. Meanwhile, the neglect by government, state and federal, is needlessly condemning children, particularly Indigenous children, to a miserable life. Just 1 in 10 Aboriginal kids have normal hearing. Shame. One wise elder, actor, musician and advocate, Uncle Jack Charles, looks at the kids in their eyes and he says to these young doctors, "This will help you choose to live a long and healthy life. But even more importantly, you will learn things that will let you help other people have long and healthy lives, to have clear heads and strong hearts." and I hope you will use your knowledge wisely and be a great blessing to your brothers and sisters, to your parents, your uncles and aunties, and all your mob. The best innovation turns out to be, ironically, simply to reach back to the past and to be humble enough to learn from it. Who'd have thought? Perhaps William of Ockham might even smile at the prospect. Uncle Jack finishes by saying, "And you young doctors will bring great pride to all Aboriginal people of this land and to all Australians." Young doctors, clear heads, strong hearts, long lives, remarkable.
It is remarkable, but it works. Don Palmer at Malpa in South Australia and in the northern part of Sydney and the Red Centre. I'm Robin Williams.